So if you find 2 Timothy, keep your hand in Philippians 2. We're all there. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15, it reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. And 12 reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If you remember, not last time, but the time before that, we started a teaching called Why We Come Together. Question. And there's so many answers to that question, right? So many answers for that question. 1 Timothy 2:4 reads, "For as God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." If there's anyone who is unsaved by camera or not present or present, the gospel is that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Listen and listen real close. From that moment that the Holy Spirit seals you because you believe that gospel, you have a date. You have a date with the Lord one-on-one as a son, as a member of his body. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want us to read verse 10. Follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Who is the we there? The body of Christ. This is not for an unbeliever. If you have believed the gospel, and say it again, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose on the third day according to the scriptures, you are saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is something that we should hold dear. Verse 10, once again, it reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul tells us to not work for, but to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm a who, what, when, where, why type of person. I seek the answers to questions that hold absolute weight. Meaning there are some questions that it really don't even matter whether you have the answer for them or not, right? But there are some questions that's weighty and relevant beyond our comprehension even at that time. And sincerely, why we come together, like I said, so many ways that we can go. But I want us today to think about our study of the Word of God. I want us to think about how we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, with both of those inside of your one-on-one as a member of the body of Christ. Not you and your husband, not you and your wife, not you holding your son's hand, not you holding your daughter's hand. It's just you, what you understand from the Word of God, rightly divided, how you received it, how you work it out, with no fear of your salvation in jeopardy. But it is judgment time for him to either grant to you on how you applied his word, how you lived it out, gold, silver, and precious stones, or as wood, hay, stubble time. So, is your salvation in jeopardy? Is this day coming? Will you have that one-on-one time with the Lord? How high in regard do you hold it? How high in regard do I hold that? High school graduations are beautiful, aren't they? It's hundreds or sometimes thousands of people chanting on our sons and our daughters. Sons and daughters we don't even know. We root them on as they all grab their high school diploma. Okay, some go to college. We root them on harder after college, right? Would you say that is a small task, or it's something that during these times and days, even a high school diploma is something that should be acknowledged and we as parents should hoorah? College, hoorah! The judgment seat of Christ? If we hold that diploma as something that it sort of honors the hard work that our sons and daughters puts in, to the point that it should be in a photo album book or somewhere hanging on a plaque in the home. It's a high regard of honor. Because it's saying the things that you should have learned, the hard work you should have put in, you put in. Great job. Great job. How much more weightier is understanding the things that have been freely given to us that we should embrace to give God glory. To give God glory. I don't know about you, when I know I have any type of date coming up where some type of test is required, I get kind of nervous and ask myself, what can I do to prepare myself? What can I do to prepare myself for this test that I know is coming? Whether it's a physical, whether you got to go to the dentist next week, start to floss a little more. You make sure it's AM and PM. Somebody can relate to me. Somebody can relate. Why? Because they gave you your call and Monday, 8 a.m. Well, it's Friday. You know what I'm saying? How much more weightier the judgment seat of Christ? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Is this an important reason for us to come together, that we look to edify, that we look to exhort one another for one of the most... How many people, or somebody called you today and said, brother, sister, how you conduct yourself at work, how you conduct yourself in your family life, how you conduct yourself in the world today, I want you to think of a councilman you like. I want you to think of a president. If you can think of the greatest president that you saw as the greatest president in your sight, if you had the opportunity to meet him, how excited would you be? How excited would you be for the person that you admire request your audience? Would it provoke you to prepare yourself to be in their presence? That's what I'm attempting to do today. I want to stir us up. I want to provoke us. I want to exhort us. I want to encourage us to yearn to be in Him who created heaven and earth. Yearn for us to have that one-on-one with Him and know He gave us all the tools, the working of His mighty power, which effectually worketh in us who believe. He has given us the tools to equip us with His power to stand before Him. Are you concerned about it? To the fact that my salvation is not in jeopardy, but I have such a high regard of His authority, dominion, power, righteousness. I just want to please Him. And that one-on-one, there's a lot of things about my heart and my mind in connection to His Word that's going to be revealed. And He ain't kept it a secret. It's no pop quiz. It's not a secret. Amen? Philippians chapter 2. Once again, verse 12, Paul reads, wherefore, my beloved, as ye as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't tell me to work out my wife's salvation. It doesn't even tell me to work out my neighbor's salvation. It doesn't tell me to work out another brother or sister's salvation. Paul is encouraged, work out your own with fear and trembling. And once again, this fear is just a high regard for the Lord. A high regard for the salvation that has been freely given unto us because we trusted and believed and heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. And 13 tells us, for it is God which worketh both to will in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 10. I'm going to move real fast now. We want to cover a good amount of verses for exhortation, for encouragement. And verse 10 reads, according to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, talking about Paul, this is simple, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Let's continue. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13 reads, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Every man's work of what sort it is. 2 Timothy 3:16. So now, a question is sort of presented and answered. What will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? What will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Talk to me, class. Talk to me, saints. What will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Every man's work of what sort it is shall be judged. Are you a member of the body of Christ? I'm asking for us to take this personally. Your work shall be judged. Your work shall be judged. Is that a maybe or is that a definitely? If that's a definitely, we need to ask ourselves, has the Bible revealed to us what we can do to equip ourselves that it's possible for us to receive gold, silver? Or the question is, which one should you desire? Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? That's what we should desire, right? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and what? In righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I can reassure you, if any one of us or of all of us when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, take this personal, if any one of us, or if all of us, when we stand and have our one-on-one at the judgment seat of Christ, if we all receive gold, silver, precious stones, individually, we understood that the scripture was supposed to inspire us by doctrine to reprove us, to correct us, and to instruct us in righteousness. Let's think about that for a second. What does that mean? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You hear people say all the time, I just need some inspiration to continue on in life. Give me that oomph that I need. Is it not a popular thing? It really is. Because people are like, I hope I'm not sliding into a state of depression, but I just need some inspiration. It's a big deal. The word inspiration is the act of drawing air into the lungs, the act of breathing into something, the communication of God's divine will to his saints' understanding. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. So when you think about the scriptures, think about the profit is the scriptures, what it's going to teach you, mainly what it's going to teach you about God, and what it's going to teach you about yourself and the relationship that you are to have with understanding what God writes about himself and you. Now, within that is a whole bunch of things. The fall of man, how he redeemed man, plan to restore the heavenly realm, plan to restore. There's a whole lot in there. But the point being, God inspired scripture to breathe his understanding into our mindsets. Now, I want you to think about this and look at the next word in the verse, that our word, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, this tells a lot about us. For the person who receives gold, silver, precious stone, for the member of the body of Christ, that gold, silver, precious stones, after your work is tested by fire, our understanding of the reproof from the word of God, we have open arms, or learned how to have open arms toward God in his wisdom with his reproof. God in his graciousness with his reproof. God in his kindness with his reproof. And I want us to look at some verses that esteems God in his wisdom and who he is. Because the word reproof is not tasteful to our flesh. It isn't yum, 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 give me some. Would you agree? When you think of the word reproof, can you think of, is it attractive? Think about, all you got to do is just think about giving someone directions or orders who just don't care for you. Or even people who really love you dearly, but when you correct them, they just don't want to hear it. I'm not going to like you. Reproof. What is reproof before we go on any further? Reproof. Anyone? Anyone? Reproof? Because you know what reproof is? It's blame about someone falling short of something. Does the word of God tell us what we fall short of? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is the word of God shy of telling us the reality about ourselves? But he gave us scripture that the reproof can lead to correction. And correction is the act of bringing back from error to a just standard. So the correction can never take place if he don't reprove us first. So I got some ways and I got some things in me that, guess what? Scripture is designed to inspire me to receive the reproof from the word of God. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto how many? All good works. If I know I'm not good within myself, I need some reproof from him who saves me to bring me back and inspire me with his word how I am to live out these good works, how I am to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, that what is these gold, silver, and precious stones that I'm looking to achieve, how can I learn them, learn to express them, learn to impute them in my understanding, for that when I stand before the Lord, I will be seen as my works, what sort they is, will give him glory, and even if it is wood, hay, stubble, we got to make the contrast. You saved, then go be with him for eternity. Amen? Come, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's read verse 16 and verse 17. And it reads, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, Paul is writing, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth how much longsuffering. All longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What claim does it make about God? Verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Call him the only wise God. That's who our God is, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 25. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, it reads, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. In verse 25, we come to understand that God is all wise, and God is all strong. There's no one as wise as God. There's no one as strong as God. There's no one. Matter of fact, God says, the wisdom of man, my foolishness is wiser than their wisdom. God says, the strength of man, the strongest individual you can find, my weakness is stronger than they are. And my weakness, there's no way for God to have an off day, but making a little picture, on my off day, they got no chance against me. No chance. This is who our God is. So he's all wise and he's all powerful. Amen? He's all wise and he's all powerful. Now this is important because as the lesson goes on, he's going to reveal things to us about us and our ways. See, because this is where the reproof comes. Is reproof really reproof if it tells you everything you want to hear about you?
No.
See, that's not reproof. See, I know about y'all. I come here to find out what God will expose about me that he is trying to reprove and correct in me to inspire me in his instruction and his righteousness. I'm not alone, am I? God with me on that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
With me, saints, on that. Amen. Why do we come together? Why week after week? Why month after month? Why year after year? We want to grow into honestly knowing who God says he really is in his word. Believing that he's all wise. Believing how strong he says he is. Now, remember that we believe that he's all wise because he's going to tell us some things about us. Colossians chapter 3. Glory to God. I'm excited for how strong he is. I'm excited for how wise he is. I'm excited that no one can top him in his wisdom. I got to be honest. I'll be kind of on the fences of, you know, if he could be topped in his wisdom. Or someone can outdo his strength. I got to be honest. I can't say that I'll be wrong. Because nothing would be a guarantee if anyone could. But since no one can, is there any promise that he can't fulfill? Come on. Colossians chapter 3. Let's start at verse. Colossians 2. Let's go to Colossians 2. Let's start at verse 1. Paul says, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Listen close. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, what do they need to, what are you after them acknowledging, Paul? It reads to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. What about Christ? Verse 3 reads, in whom are hid how much? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4. That really speaks for itself, doesn't it? Just some things you ever look to expound on, some things that the Word of God just did it for you. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Like, oh, wow. Wow. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hebrews chapter 4. We go read verses 12 and 13. Let's see how much God really knows. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? So this is it. It's certain things about my thought process. It's certain things about my heart, how I view things, things that's passionate to me that God discerns and knows. Amen? But he knows these things of all of us. How about verse 13? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. One more verse, and we expound on some of this. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. So far, from what the verses we read, is there anything hid from God? Does he know the thoughts and intents of our heart? All things are naked and laid open unto his eyes. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is wiser than any man. He is stronger than any man. Come on, he is the only wise God. Jeremiah chapter 17, let's read verses 9 and 10. Now he's going to tell us some things about ourselves, because now we know he knows the intents of our heart. He knows the thoughts. He can discern. Nothing is hidden from him, right? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10 reads this. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is where we started to collide heads. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 reads, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? The Word of God tells us, as we devolve in our sin nature, the more wiser we thought we got, the more foolish we became. And now, how I view things about myself, it's going to be weighed out now. It's going to be weighed out. Because in verse 9 it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do I believe within myself? Do you believe within yourself that your heart is deceitful above all things, left to yourself, with no reproof from the Lord, no correction from the Lord, no instruction in his righteousness, on your own, on my own? My heart really ain't deceitful. My heart is, am I going to have that argument in the privacy of my mind, or will I receive the reproof, receive the instruction? You know what? You hear us a lot, and you hear Pastor Leroy maybe every Sunday that he's up here. We want to bring this grace to our homes. We want to extend this from our homes and bring it into our neighborhood. We want to bring it from our homes to our neighborhood to our workplace. We want to bring this everywhere we go. With that Galatians 22, understanding that God gave his life for us, to give his life to us, to live his life through us. A lot of him living his life through you has everything to do with when he tells you about you and me and my ways and our hearts and our mind. Do we really believe we need a renewed mind? Come on. It's so, it's nothing even small about this. Do I believe that I need a renewed mind concerning my marriage? Concerning what I view the husband role to be? Concerning what I view the wife role to be? Concerning what I view how a child should conduct themselves? Concerning how I view I should conduct myself in my neighborhood? Concerning how I should conduct myself when I'm on the clock at work? It's going to be challenged. How I should deal with the body of Christ? Is it going to be in my understanding, or is it going to be in his reproof, correction, instruction that he gave how we should conduct ourselves among one another? Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Let me ask you, does anyone of you connect this, especially with your understanding of how to rightly divide the word of truth? Do you think this is important in understanding, for understanding when we think about gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble? Do you think that will play a role within there? How I conduct myself in my family life, how I conduct myself as a member of the body of Christ in my neighborhood, how what I'm bringing to work, do I really bring out that Christ gave his life for us, to give his life to us, that he may live his life through us? Is that really where I'm going in life? Or is it really, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. I can stay silent about it, but the Word of God just told me that God is a discerner and intense of the thoughts in the heart. All things are laid open unto him. They are naked. So I can front or I can mask, and that's what the word naked means. I know a lot of us think about, you know, putting on clothes, but what the true definition of it is just having no covering. You're not going to be able to cover up the incense of your heart at the judgment seat of Christ. So that zeal and that passion that the Word of God is trying to inspire and breathe in us through His Word, that's what we want to be manifest when it's tested by fire, right? This is the thing. This is what we want to be manifest. We want when He tests it, wow, passion for my word. Receive my reproof. And let's look at some things that get in the way of that, okay? Proverbs chapter 12. Let's look at verse 15. Proverbs 12, 15. And it reads, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And we also know that a fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But are there individuals that who are saved as members of the body of Christ, that is it foolish to reject the reproof from the Word of God rightly divided? Mm-hmm. Are there many individuals who even have written Bibles? I used to be one of the greatest fans of John MacArthur. Man, I love me some John MacArthur in my yesterdays. Some R.C. Sproul. Is he rejecting the Word of God rightly divided? So can we, if he is saved, and if he has believed the gospel that saves, he is saved. If he believed that even for a brief moment in his life, if he believed and relied on that exclusively one moment in his life, is he saved and sealed? Yeah. Can I and he do things that's foolish when it comes to us handling the Word of God and how we bring it over into our lives? We can't we? Continue. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Have you got any growth in your life? Have you seen yourself as someone from the moment you were saved to Christ living through you now? You understand how to receive reproof from the Word of God. You understand how to receive correction from the Word of God. Have you can truthfully say and express the verses that can change why and how you conduct yourself, you receive reproof and correction from the Word of God. And this is why one reason why we come together. Proverbs 16 and 12. And it reads, 16 and 12. 16 and 2. I'm sorry, 16 and 2. Look at what it reads. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord way of the spirits." Did you catch that? Let me tell, or let me plead my argument. I'm going to reason and try to justify my way into any and everything I do, why I do it, how I do it. But the Word of God in verse 12 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his what?" And his own. Do you believe that about yourself is the question. You see, this is really what it comes down to. Because you read the verse, does it mean you really believe it? God knows whether you do or don't. But that verse right there, that verse is challenging me right now. That verse is challenging me right now. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Some people who are some saints who are saved are convinced that, listen, what the Word of God instructs me how to run my marriage, how to conduct myself in my family, how to conduct myself in my neighborhood, how to conduct myself at work, I just don't see as best. Are there individuals out there that do not trust the Word of God over their ways? They say, "Well, I trust the Word of God." Oh, okay, well, in this situation, the Word of God is instructing you how to deal with this. I can relate. I've been there before. But see, the more you get yourself attention to reading, you get yourself a better chance of receiving the reproof. Proverbs chapter 21. Romans 15 chapter 4 lets us know that the things that are written aforetime is profitable for our learning, right? Amen. So I understand I'm not in Pauline letters, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? Now, I want to be careful not to read any promises that God gave distinctly to Israel alone and try to bring it, but this is an interdispensational truth. This is transdispensational, right? These verses. If not, you know, at the end of class, you know, raise your hand, make a comment. Proverbs 21, verse 2, when it reads, every way of a man is right in his what? Own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. God being all wise, us not being able to hide anything from him, he pondereth our hearts. He understands and he searches us. Amen. And I didn't go back to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. We read verse 9. We did not read verse 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you catch that? He said desperately wicked. Not wicked. We desperate, guess what? To do things our way. Adam and Eve showed us that. When you look at when they fell, you know, we just go put these fig leaves on us. We go cover ourselves our way. I'm going to make a cover for me. This is what we do. I'm going to do it my way. I see the trouble I'm in. I'm going to handle it my way. My way. And that's how desperately weak we are. And look at verse 10, what it says about the Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. You know, I think this gold, silver, and precious stones that we all look and have when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when God tells us about ourselves, can I tell you what it has done for me? It has increased my dependency on him in my prayer life. Is anybody with me on that? Have you ever saw something like just drastic and scary, or heard somebody ever told you a story about somebody going through a difficult situation? You're like, ooh. And, or say under your breath, help him, Jesus. Have you ever done something like that? When I read about what the Word says about our hearts and how we think we right in all our ways, that's my prayer for myself. If this is the case for me and for everybody, help us, Lord. Well, I have. I gave you inspiration. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. You need rest in your life. You need some inspiration to live. Yes, to live, I need inspiration, Lord. To live. To live, and I'm concerned about how I live, Lord, because the things that I do in my body, you go judge. Is anyone concerned about that? See, now the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. But you know what? For anyone who isn't concerned, that's very foolish on their behalf. That's very, and very prideful. That's very prideful on anyone's behalf to say, you ain't concerned about your one-on-one time at the judgment seat of Christ? You got zero concern? I pray that's none of us right now. Amen. How has the Lord assisted us? What has he told us some things that's helpful for us? Let's go back to Proverbs. We will be in the Pauline epistles in a brief moment. Let's go back to Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 13. Verse 18. Chapter 13, verse 18, and it reads, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. And that was absolutely the case during the time past ministry. But he that regardeth reproof, listen close, shall be what? do you want as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the Word of God inspires you, as the Word of God inspires you, meaning the foundation that you're building it on is Christ and His Word rightly divided, do you want God to be honored with how you deal and handle with His Word and how His Word affects you in your daily life? That's really what the judgment seat of Christ is really all about, right? That's really what's going to be going on. You're hoping not to receive a loss of rewards for how you handled the Word of God, how you studied the Word of God, and how you allow that Word of God to impact your life or not impact your life. That's what it's about. If it's about anything else, let me know. Let me know when it's question and comment time. If it's not about the Word of God and how it effectually works in you, and then when it effectually works in you, He's telling you the areas of life, how He wants you to express Him in His Word. Chapter 15, verse 32, same book, Proverbs. Fifteen and thirty-two reads, "He that refuseth instruction despises his what? Own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth what? Understanding." Once again, does the Word of God congratulate us on our ways apart from Him? Does the Word of God tell us good things about our ways? So I need to understand, when I receive reproof, when the Word of God reproves us in our ways, I have to be careful not to fall into the wisdom of this world. Because the wisdom of this world looks for a way to justify themselves to go around certain things not to receive the correction. Am I right? I can justify myself in that. But this is what is rampant in the world today, right? We find a way to justify everything. Everything. We find a way. Lawyers make millions and billions off finding a way to get whoever off. Even if the thing was recorded on camera and they saw them do the crime. Am I right? But God in His wisdom, in His just wisdom, it's not going to happen. Chapter 17, and we go get out of Proverbs. 17 to 10. And it reads, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." See, now this is beautiful, because of all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Proverbs 17 and 10. Let's read it again. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man." A reproof. The Word of God telling us about ourselves and then laying out to us how He desires to work in us that we produce a different outcome. Amen? The Word of God. "Reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." Meaning, for those of us who trust, rely, and see how precious the Word of God rightly divided is, someone who knows how to handle the Word can sit down with you, tell you what the Word of God says about that circumstance, that situation, expose our error, and we might embrace it with tears. But someone who rejects the Word of God, don't want to hear nothing about it. You can tell them of their flaws, tell them of their error, beat them 100 times with a whip, and they don't get it. Isn't that the weight of Scripture? God says, "Let me inspire you with my Word." See the profit in it. See the profit in believing it and it effectually working in you. Gold, silver, or precious stones will be at the end of that rainbow for safety. Reject reproof, you can't receive the correction. You don't receive the correction, you don't receive the instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 that I'm quoting. You don't receive the instruction in righteousness. How can you be that perfect man of God that's perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works? So rejecting reproof you're sort of escorting yourself, although saved, toward hay and stubble.
Might as well go to Proverbs 12:1
while we're here. Let's go. Proverbs 12:1. Something about instruction. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, for he that hateth reproof is what? Brutish. It means uncivilized, untaught, unlearned. Just brutish. We don't want to be seen as that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, do we? And think about 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a what, man? Can I say something? You don't got to work for your salvation. But you have to study, give yourself attendance to reading, receive the reproof, the correction, the instruction from the Word of God. You have to work out your salvation. Now, it's God working in you, but you are going to be conscious. You're going to be very aware about what He's revealing to us about ourselves and how we ought to put on Christ. We are going to be very aware of things that He tells us to put off. Amen? If you receive gold, silver, and precious stones, you are aware of the things that you need to put off. That you just, no, I ain't concerning myself with putting that off. No, you are concerning yourself with that. You understand no longer who you were or you ought to live out, but you are concerned with who you are in Christ. With no fear of losing your salvation, who you are is what you are preoccupying yourself with. It's what you're preoccupying your mind with. Go to Titus chapter 3. Please, Titus 3. Look at who we were. Titus chapter 3. We start at verse 1. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also, here's the word, were. Sometimes what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is how we used to be. This is what we were. But verse 4 says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, read verse 14 with me. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. We learn how to preoccupy ourselves, or we should learn to preoccupy ourselves with being concerned with being fruitful ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Mindful. To the point that Titus 2, since we're in Titus, Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 11 reads, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. The Word of God, it told us who we were. It told us about our ways, how we're all just clean in our own sight. We are, all our ways are clean in our own eyes. But it says now in verse 12, the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Question, verse 13, that blessed hope and that glorious appearing, you know what happens immediately at that blessed hope and that glorious appearing? What time is it? It's rapture time. And when it's rapture time, what time is it? It's judgment time. So get this. So this verse is definitely linked to looking for that. Are we looking for what definitely will come? Is there a moment that's truly weightier or even more precious than the moment that you put your faith in the gospel that saves? That's serious. It's serious that we encourage each other and provoke one another. Let's move forward and be concerned about that. You know what? Yo, gold, silver, and precious stones for you, Deacon. Now, I mean, gold, silver, precious stones for you, sister. Yo, we're going to be on alert. We're going to be preoccupied. Yeah, when you need encouragement, I got you. Do you got me when I need encouragement? I got you. Should that not be our attitude toward one another? Should it not? Romans 4:2. Start at verse 10. Verses 10 through 12. Romans 4:2. Verses 10 through 12. And 10 reads, "But why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall..." Say this with me, saints. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to who?" Knowing that that is coming, can you please encourage me? May I encourage you to be preoccupied with the things? Can we search diligently for how what we learn in our conduct that we can pursue gold, silver, and precious stones? Should you not be encouraging me for that? Should I not be doing vice versa the same thing to you? Should we not? You know what? You know, there's one thing I think that the body of Christ, and Pastor Lever said this so beautifully during Sunday school, are we preoccupied with seeing ourselves as one, or are we so focused on seeing ourselves as individuals? See, because when we see ourselves as a body, let me know the next time you drop something on your foot and you tell your foot, you know what to do? You know what to do? It's so foolish that it's like, come on, man. You hammer something in the wall, you hit your thumb, and you just watch your thumb bleed. The hand, the feature, work its way to the bathroom, find the band-aid, wash it off, wrap it up. Are we really preoccupied with concerning ourselves as members of the body of Christ with what the head will have us concern ourselves with? His body. His body. As we close Ephesians 4. From the moment we say, our understanding of unity, God desires to give us a renewed mind of that, doesn't he? Our understanding about every man for themselves, that's not the head. That's not Christ's understanding of how we should function, is it? Every man for himself. Every man, I definitely, it was a time that I don't like what you said and how you said it 4 years ago. I'm still hanging on to that. That's what I'm going to do. You got the right to do that. Shame on you. Do you think that that is truly alive amongst the body of Christ throughout the world today? Unfortunately, you know what? Don't like, never like you, then don't like you. But see, but when we learn how to put on that new mind, when we learn how the head desires for the body to edify one another up, it changes our mindset when we receive it. Chapter 4, let's start at verse 14. It reads that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, so Christ is concerned, the head of the body is concerned with us doing what? Growing up into him, amen? Verse 16, "For from whom the whole body fitly joint together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Every part. maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in health. In love. As we close, and as we understand one of the many reasons why we come together, we're trying to equip ourselves, we're trying to prepare ourselves to pursue the gold, silver, and precious stones of our work and what sort it is and what doctrine is based on and what doctrine is laid on. We will have that one-on-one time with the Lord. Every one of us. And with that being the case, let us exhort, let us edify, let us build one another up in what? In love. Grace and peace. Comments, questions.